Welcome to
Got Your Milk,
a podcast about the vampire apocalypse show, The Strain.
Oh, man, today, it is apocalyptic.
Today, we're going to be going over Season 3, Episode 8. Can you believe how far we've come, Mork? And I believe this episode is entitled White Light. What do you think the white light was? Was that the bomb at the end of the episode?
Man.
Was it the light of truth? Was it... What do you think it was, the white light?
So many things. You know, the titles are just the beginning of the excellence of this show. I think it's either the bomb or whatever was in the suitcase.
Yeah.
Or possibly it could have been whatever was captured on the data recorder from the plane.
How about this? Is it possible that Palmer... But getting the white, saw the light, and now he's working against the master.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot, Bubba.
My name's Bubba, and you can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitTenTrim. And with me every episode of this podcast.
Basically.
On every episode.
Pretty much.
The gym to my passive aggressive. Hey. It's Mork. Mork, Jim had a good run.
Actually, you know what? I think I'd rather be Jim.
How can people find you on Twitter?
Oh, man, they can find me so easily. Just go to Extraordinary, and that's Extraordinary with a W in front of the second R.
Mork, This episode, I'm not sure what to rank it, so I'm just going to go with kind of a middling grade of 7 double ends out of 10. Well, double ends is what I like to refer to. It's actually what Dutch likes to refer to.
Well,
naughty nurses.
Naughty nurses, so, indeed.
Naughty nurse stories. There were parts of this episode I liked. I'll go ahead and say my UV light scene is when Quinlan just said, F this, and I don't mean passive-aggressive. He was really saying,
let's do this,
and he's taken out all those pretty much red shirt Stergoy. So that was a part I liked. There were a lot of parts that I would say were spoiled / spilt milk for me.
Mm-hmm.
There was not a dry eye in the house when Gus had to kill his mom. Because my eyes were tearing up going, what is the point of this?
That's when you went to go just check for the Sunday paper, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
What
ranking would you give episode 8 of season 3, White Light?
Oh, man. I would give it, I got to say, 10 triple S's.
Triple S's?
Super shiny suitcases.
Ooh,
that's right.
They blow up real good.
They blowed up real good this time.
So did you have a spilt milk scene, if you're so high? Anything you didn't like about this episode?
Well, I would have to say, if I had one quibble, if I had one small complaint, it's something that I'm not really worried about it because I don't think the show has really done that much of it, if ever. And
Let's
I'm sure
hear.
They'll never do it again.
What could it be?
You know, when they flash back to Gus as a child and we learned about, you know, the fact that his dad, who was a coward, used to beat him and his mom up. You know, I didn't love that just because... You know, you figure most characters in this show would be somewhat conflicted.
Somewhat
conflicted about having to, you know, put their turned family member, particularly their sweet mom, down. That's basically all we learned was that, he didn't want to have to do what he had to do. But he did the right thing in saving Silver Angel, who's now patched up, even if Silver Angel's fingerprints are now on file.
Right, that's a good point.
So they might find out
about... track down that Silver Angel.
Yeah, some W-9 violations when he used to work for the Tandoori Palace might come to the fore. But no, I did like the fight at the end. The confrontation and tracking down. I'd like to think that the Ancient Ones, who also have this crack team of Strigoi Team 6, not our double L Strigoi Team 7.
No, dear Lord.
Oh, please. Because our Strigoi Team 7 would never be so easily tracked back to their secret hideout.
They sure wouldn't.
Yeah. So
Trust me, when a lot of people watch The Strain, they often hide it from other people. They don't want to be found out.
That is true. So, so The Strain is similar to a certain element of our electorate. But that's okay. So anyway, the point is...
I'd love the point. Please, yes, let's hear it.
The point is, I did not love the flashback scenes. I don't think we needed them. There's enough... There, And one of the reasons with the flashbacks, and I'm sure we'll never see this again, and as I can't really think of any time we've ever focused on the past in this show before.
Never.
So I guess one of the main reasons why it's really not necessary is the fact is, you know, this we're not exactly watching the remains of the day here. We're watching zombie vampires.
Trust me, every time I watch an episode, I go, this is the remains of my day.
Yes. Well, I would. I mean, there are some definite similarities, and you know, I mean, Nora's mother's daughter, Nora. Thank you. You know, she was sort of the Emma Thompson of the piece, I would say.
Mark, let me go ahead. Yeah, but I'm going to cut you off, but before you get to the point,
I'm just getting warmed up.
No, listen. Yeah. I want to talk about. You were talking about double L's.
Double L's.
Our loyal listeners, and everybody knows that the most loyal listeners on the Got You Milk podcast are good friends from another podcast, Chloe Geek Girl O'Malley. Soup. So great. And so Geek Girl Soup, they had a couple of great tweets. I just want to write them. I want to read them right now at the top of the show. And so somebody asked the question, what's a worse couple, F and Dutch or Palmer and Coco? Oh. Quote, I can't unsee that. Well, ouch.
Well, I think if you're in one of those couples, that's going to determine your answer. If you're Coco or Dutch, I think that may have some influence on whose couple you'd rather not be in.
All right. They also said, and they don't seem to be down with Team Fudge. I keep pitching passive aggressive, or as you coined him today, Mork, sexual aggressive and Dutch. You combined him to Fudge. And so what they said is Geek Girl Soup tweeted out, alcohol lowers your inhibitions and clouds your judgment. # Dutch NF. Just say no.
Yeah. I mean, they're... Although, did you notice that when F started talking, like, I actually thought they just should have started her story. She could have just been, you know, alone in a room and started acting this out and then cut to F. Because as soon as he started talking, the situation became a lot less sexual.
Right.
He was basically, slow down. Have you heard of The Missionary? And that was basically...
No, hold on. I cracked this during the show. Yeah. When Passive Aggressive is suddenly like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm one man, one woman.
Right.
Of course, there was the time I cheated on my one woman, Kelly,
right.
with on Nora's mom's daughter, Nora.
Well, that,
and then there's
true.
Also the one time my one woman was Nora, and I cheated on her with a woman down in D.C. But yeah. I'm normally one man, one woman. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, no, but in his defense, he was
there's
sober.
No defense.
Oh. He was sober in those days.
Yeah, big mistakes there. So I mentioned this great stuff that Geek Girl Soup tweets out. People, we want you to go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com
right now.
/PP Podcast. The word double, the single letter P, and the word podcast plural. facebook.com/PP Podcast.
That is exactly
and
it.
And tell us what you think about this episode. Tell us if it's a 10 like Mork, mm-hmm, if mm-hmm, it's a mm-hmm. 7 like me. Tell us if you're Team Fudge mm-hmm. or not. We want to know. We also want you to go there because all this week's we've been doing the Ash versus Evil Dead versus Bubba versus Catfish podcast about the Starz hit show, Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah.
And this week, Mork, you and I
uh-huh.
launched another podcast.
We
Can
did.
You believe it?
I can't believe it.
Folks, we are entering a podcast into the crowded field.
We are.
A podcast focused on the classic TV show / soon-to-be new TV show, Twin Peaks.
We're diving into the fray, but we've got some secret weapons
we sure do.
On our side. Namely the fact that Bubba was in a computer lab in the very, very late 20th century, writing in and following the very first Twin Peaks message board. So we basically have a 25-year head start.
We sure do. So go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to our Facebook page, check for our new Twin Peaks podcast, Twin Peaks, The Gifted and the Damned. It's Mork and I talking about a great classic show that you need to watch if you haven't already, and you need to get ready for the new series on Showtime next year. We should also point out there's a new book that's being released this Tuesday from Twin Peaks co-creator Mark Frost called The Secret History of Twin Peaks. And on future episodes of our Twin Peaks podcast, we'll be covering that. We want you guys to join along with us for that crazy fun. So without further ado,
no more ado.
Let's get to ado. Let's get to anything other than the Palmer Freedom Center.
Yeah.
And let's focus on the Silver Angel / Gus /
Sure.
Gus's mom. Storyline. So sure enough, they have been setting up some things for years. So mm-hmm. we've seen, certainly back in season two, these Freedom Centers were set up. Obviously, yep. there's something nefarious going on there at the Freedom Centers. And we find out that Gus, once a crook, always a crook. He steals that guy's pen. I need my pen back.
Yeah, no, that was basically, for me, that was the key moment, you know, where Gus really, I think, finally lost his humanity.
Right. And so
you just don't steal a guy's pen.
And so if you go flashback two episodes to the Battle of Central Park, mm-hmm. sure enough, there did seem to be a ricochet bullet that hit the Silver Angel.
Yeah.
But for the rest of the episode, Silver Angel really didn't show any ill effects of that ricochet bullet.
Well, he was hopped up on jujubes.
He might have been. But this episode, we get to it, and guess what? Silver Angel is in pain. They go to the Palmer Freedom Center, and they're creepy things. They want Gus,
yeah.
hey, bruh, I'm not injured, Gus,
yeah, bro.
To fill out something and to give his fingerprints over to them. And Gus, while he does steal the pen, he's like, no can go. But he leaves Silver Angel there. He's like, hey, buddy, you stay here. I'm taking off. Let's meet back where?
At the secret, double secret hiding space. Also the place I lived my entire life.
Right. Where should we meet?
No one who might be trying to find us would ever go there.
Yes.
So you know, that was a good spot.
Oh, my Lord. So possibly ridiculous. But this somehow sets us up to Gus flashbacks, which you've already called your spoiled/spilt milk scene of the episode. And I just want to say it did provide us, hey, bruh, it's me, baby Gus.
Baby Gus would actually fit right in. If you think about all the characters on this show,
yeah,
which one would fit right in most easily with the Baby Muppets? I think it'd be Baby Gus. I don't think it'd be Baby Master.
No.
He'd be annoying, and I think Animal would take him out very quickly.
That would be nice to see.
It would not be Baby passively sexually aggressive. Miss Piggy would take him out with a couple right. karate chops. I think it'd be Baby Gus.
So, hey, bruh, it's me, Baby Gus. And in my flashback, one of my uncles told me, a good man takes care of his family.
Mm.
Which, theoretically, he learned years ago.
Figuratively and literally.
And we just found out seconds ago that apparently this time a long ago,
mm-hmm.
when Baby Gus was getting beat up by his daddy, and his mom was getting beat up by his daddy.
Sure.
And his brother, theoretically, didn't exist yet.
Now, do we know for a fact?
Yeah,
let's... know for a fact that dad was beating him up? Is it possible that maybe Gus and his mom were slugging it out and his dad was too afraid to step in and ran away?
Right. We've got
Is that possible?
Listen to me. It's fixed. It's rigged. All these accusers, we've never once seen Gus's dad beating Gus's mom.
I actually haven't seen it. So
right.
I'm just saying.
I don't want to impugn the good name of Gus's dad.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, bruh. It's me, your dad.
it's me.
Who's your bra?
That's your uncle.
Uncle bra? Yeah. And so following along with this storyline, mm-hmm. we know one thing.
Yep.
And it's true to this day. If your mom's coming over, you clean up. And so Gus goes back. Gus goes back to his place and his mom's place and his dad's brother's place. And he's like, I got to clean this crap hole up.
I've noticed this when your mom comes to visit in your beautiful place.
That's right.
You do clean up a little bit before she arrives.
Right.
Now, growing up, was your mom like mine where if there was like, excuse me, special occasion and maybe, you know, you're going to have a cleaning lady come over, did your mom force you to help her clean the entire house before the cleaning lady showed up? Or is that only in Minneapolis?
No, this is a weird thing to say, and I don't want people to think I'm weirder than Gus's family.
No.
Or baby Gus's family.
Not possible.
But my mom got divorced, so my mom was always working late.
Right.
We always, this is, you know, my mom did make dinner and some, but sometimes we would just cook chicken pot pies, you know, those frozen
so
chicken pot pies. And so it was the kind of stuff you could make and then throw away. So there really wasn't a mess
to be,
you know, as long as you put the fork in the dishwasher, you were good. So my mom, let me say though, right now, my mom is cleaner than Gus's mom. Slightly. Have you seen Gus's mom?
I have.
Sloppy.
Yeah. She is not. Well, I would say this. I mean, in all fairness to Gus's mom, she's probably a little bit more active than your mom just because she's running around trying to score more human blood.
That's right.
Your mom's very ladylike.
Right. She's just trying to
genteel. Right. Always very relaxed. Always.
Let me say, after my mother and my college alma mater lost this weekend,
yes,
my mom was a bit like Gus's mom, trying to suck the blood out of our current head coach. Possibly. You lost to Vanderbilt? Yeah.
You guys actually lost to Vanderbilt?
Yeah, okay. Edit. So, yes.
So, wait, Vanderbilt?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. We're having a bad, bad year. So, anyway, Silver Angel comes back from the Freedom Center.
From now on, let's refer to your mom as Mama Bubba.
All right, which do you think had a worse week? My alma mater, the University of Georgia, losing to Vanderbilt, or Gus's mom? Getting shot capped in the head by, hey, Ma, it's me. Oh, it's me, grown-up Gus.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Was the actress who played Gus's mom also playing turned Gus's mom?
No. The actress who played young baby Gus's mom obviously too young.
Yeah, no.
You know, I think the actress from season one is Gus's mom.
All right. Well, fair enough.
All right. So Silver Angel comes back from the Palmer Freedom Center.
See how I
dodged
that question completely?
I love dodging. Yep. You know who didn't dodge anything? Gus's mom. She dodged the bullet, didn't have bullet speed, just shot right in the head.
Do you think, time out, she only went after her? Here's the point I was trying to make 30 minutes ago.
Let's hear it.
30 minutes and two podcasts ago. Do you think that Gus's mom only attacked Silver Angel because he was sitting on the couch, he had the blanket on,
that's
he had
my
his
shawl.
Feet up.
Yeah.
Exactly, he had his feet up on the coffee table with his shoes on like a bum.
That's like Thanksgiving dinner. You don't bring Silver Angel over to Thanksgiving dinner.
Exactly. No manners. Gus sheds some gender roles real easily. He does all the hard work. He makes beautiful home, and then just like Dad, shows up late, stumbles inside, puts his feet up, goes to sleep. Not acceptable.
No. So Silver. Not acceptable at all. So Silver Angel, you're saying, got what he had coming.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Of course, he got nothing. So in other words, he got his buddy back. He got his buddy away from his crazy mom. So in some ways, Silver Angel was a true winner in this episode.
Oh, that's true. It only took 8 episodes, so that's cool.
Would you say that somehow, what do you think the flashback to Gus taking the I-Course job? What did that just prove that Gus is going to hell, like he said at the end?
No.
Because he was like, I was always going to take care of my mom, and here I didn't. Like, Gus was a bad son, and the bad son ends up killing, admittedly, the turned mom.
Yeah. I really don't... There are certain people... I mean, if that's the point they were trying to make in this episode, when you have... Pardon me.
Yeah, get to it.
Excuse me. If this episode they're trying to make that point, I don't think they should have tried this week, because we just saw our friend Millennial of the Week who got hung on the meat hook. Let's just call him Meat Hook Johnny.
Is Sanjay Desai's former assistant.
Former assistant. And then Sanjay Desai, who, not to mention the guy who kept Palmer off the boat. You have all these other collaborators who were far, far, far
worse. So many
worse
collaborators in an episode not titled Collaborators.
Exactly. So maybe, wait a minute. So is there a code in the title of the episode where they're really talking about next week?
White light.
So white light next week. Interesting. All right,
get him in the box. All right, you know what? Hold on. I want to finish up, Gus's story.
Hey, bro.
Because after he thinks about that time that he took the job to help I-Course.
Right.
He thinks every decision I made killed her.
Hmm.
Do you agree with that?
No.
Oh, I think when he went to go eat at the Tandoori Palace,
sure,
that was the first step of mother murder.
Well, look, I mean, Gus's family is, I believe they're a proud Puerto Rican family on the show.
Right. Yeah, possibly.
Well, we all know there's been, hundreds of years of trials and tribulations and conflict between the island state of Puerto Rico and India. So Tandoori Palace, and Gus's mom, they were not going to get along.
All right, let's just end this storyline.
That's what killed her.
This storyline is killing me. It's so stupid. So let's get to the end of this storyline. So Gus decides that he needs to go somewhere far away from this city.
Yeah.
Gus, just last year, at the end of the Tandoori Palace storyline, could have left the city with the folks from the Tandoori Palace, but you and Silver Angel specifically said, no, we want to stay here and fight.
Right.
The fighting we saw you do was kind of non-existent. You didn't really fight. The only Strigoi he fought this season was when he got roped into it.
On the chain gang.
On the chain gang.
Yeah.
On the double C's, the conscription cruise. And he did kill his mom, right? Yeah. So these whiplash motivations. Oh, uh-huh. I want to do this. Oh, I want to do that.
Oh, Bubba, I think you're being too hard on Gus. I think you're being too hard on Gus.
If you love Gus,
mm-hmm.
tell me why. Please, honest to God. Gus could be a badass. We want, you know, a guy like, another guy like Fett, another, you know, kind of take no nonsense. Yeah. I'm going to kill these mofos.
Right.
Sturgoy.
Mm-hmm.
And Gus could be that. But what the hell is going on? He's never a part of the team. If you're not going to use him, the strain, cut him. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, man. I hope we have Gus in every episode. We've only got 12 more, baby. I want him chock full of Gus.
You know who you're not really using? Silver Angel. He's got those brass knuckle crosses, which hopefully are made of silver.
I would hope.
Has he ever used them?
He kind of used them to knock on the door.
Right.
He kind of used them to knock on the door, and then he dropped one when he realized how clean Gus's apartment was.
Right, he knew he was in the wrong place. Gus's place.
This is so nice and tidy, and it smells delicious.
So let's go to a storyline which has more opportunity to drive us crazy.
Okay.
F, drinking with Dutch, reviewing the flight black box recorder.
Yes. Yes.
And why doesn't the, you know, they're like, oh, look, we went to all this trouble. Wait a minute. The black box doesn't record microwave signals.
Right.
Drink. Thereby negating everything they've done. For the last three episodes. Let's get this black box.
Well,
let's do this.
Well, they kind of... Pardon me. They kind of said it might have recorded them in another way after they said that it
didn't. Right.
It didn't. So let's leave that possibility open. What I'm not exactly clear on is... I'm not an electrical engineer, so
what?
Get out. Sorry.
Where's the host who I thought you were?
It was an honor and a pleasure being on the podcast. No, if there are any electrical engineers listening, please tweet at us or
please tweet the showrunners and explain all the things they've gotten wrong over three seasons.
But also us, also us if you don't mind. Just CC us on the emails. It's totally fun.
Or hashtag Got Your Milk Podcast on Twitter.
Oh yeah, that too. So the plane landed on autopilot. The original plane, episode one.
Can a plane land in autopilot?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. So 24 days ago, right? 25 days ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. So the plane lands on autopilot.
Okay.
When exactly it did, how did this thing knock out the voice recorder without, I guess, knocking out the rest of the plane?
Whew.
You know, it seems like if the voice recorder is supposed to be like
no,
super
that is,
robust.
That's a great question.
It's a simple question. I it could be a real simple answer too, but it just seems like if that thing is going down, then maybe the plane should have just dropped out of the sky at the same time. But
that would have also saved us a great show.
Oh no, we would have been talking about something. We would have been talking about something week.
Okay,
every week.
So
double L's.
I've got a good one for you.
Okay, hit me.
Knock knock.
Not here. I'm not here. I stepped out to get some cigarettes with Nora's mom.
That means you know the punchline.
Oh, who's there?
F.
F who?
No, that's the punchline. F is there.
Oh, son of a...
So, let's get this, and you correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Dutch believes that one of the reasons why she was so affected by the voice of the master, while passive-aggressive wasn't, is because he's got old ears. He's losing his hearing.
I don't buy that. That seems to be, you know, they've talked about all the ways in which, you know, technology. So hearing, you know, better ears, worse ears. I don't know. I don't buy it. My alternate theory would be that Dutch is soon going to have a little Dutch.
Oh, that would be great. A way to replace Zach 2.0.
Or,
is with Futch
well,
1.0.
We could skip ahead a few years and just use the same actor.
Oh, that's a great point.
And then
bring out, they have to give birth to Zach 1.0.
Zach 1.0 comes back.
So I love that idea. I think that's a great idea.
It's yours.
Okay, I'm going to take it and run with it.
Do with it as you
so,
will.
So I want to give a minor shout out.
Okay.
We mentioned this from time to time.
Yeah.
We knew nothing about the strain. In the first episode, F and Jim had this routine where Jim kept saying, got your milk,
right.
F, and F's like, hey, I got your milk. So we named this podcast after Got Your Milk, which was the worst naming convention ever.
But, it hasn't paid off yet.
But F, I want to give it up to him. He is a functioning alcoholic.
Sure.
Every episode he's friggin' drinking. But theoretically, he's doing good work, and he's doing well, and everything's going great for him.
By that, you mean he was able to perform sexually with Dutch?
You know what? A lot of times when you have too much to drink...
We're making that assumption. We don't know exactly what happened.
So we love reenactments here.
We do.
On the... Watch out, double S's.
Sexual
situations. All right, so rather than straight up reenactments, everybody knows that...
Let's just say Dutch's reenactment was way better than anything
Dutch's double N, naughty nurse story, was definitely an attempt to turn on the good sexual aggressive.
Sure.
And so I want to hear you perform.
Okay.
I want to hear you perform.
With my bagpipes that I brought?
Dutch's story, okay? I'm just going to turn on closed captioning, and let's see who told it better.
Oh, okay.
Sexy, no longer Australian hacker Dutch, possibly British hacker Dutch, or
Well, there Mork. Is an argument. There is an argument to make that she is Australian.
Because she... Say it, Mork. Finish it.
Well, based on her experience here in the lab and also with Fett in the bread truck... She seems to be drawn to going down under.
All right, here we go. So here it is, everybody. The closed captions are on. I bring you Mork as Dutch.
So say there was this really beautiful young nurse, topless. Okay, with these divine, big, beautiful breasts that says, and she came to look after me. And we just start kissing, and tongues everywhere kissing, which doesn't seem very safe. That wouldn't do anything for you?
Meh. Let me tell you something.
All right. No. Let me keep going.
Keep going.
She starts straddling me, and my hands are just, where are my hands? All over her. And then suddenly my mom calls and says, why are you only a nurse? You could have been a pharmacist or a physician. And you say,
all right,
yeah,
you know what? I've got to do a solid for our loyal listeners and stop this.
What do you mean?
That rendition.
Wasn't that sexy?
Not only did it cause many people to unsubscribe, I think it sobered up F. That was so bad.
That was my sexy voice.
That was not your sexy voice.
That was
your Aunt Phyllis trying.
She is by far, I say this with apologies to all of my other aunts, she is by far my sexiest aunt.
Did you buy this? Phyllis. Do you like Team Futch?
No.
What?
I really don't. I really don't, because they're too similar. There's something. She and Fett were much better because
they were a better pair. I agree with that.
Yeah, because they were a little bit more contrasted. You know, he's a Law and Order man. He still hasn't taken off his damn badge yet.
Oh, I didn't notice it quite as much. Was it in this episode?
Only once or twice. she was a hacker. She's trying to bring down the establishment.
Right.
If anyone should, if Gus is supposed to feel bad, not Dutch. Are you kidding me? So they were much better couple. F is kind of like, he's lone wolf. She's lone wolf. I like a little more opposites attract.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. This show does melodrama, as I've said on several podcasts now. Mm-hmm. It does melodrama so poor.
Right.
But I have a hard time seeing how they're going to screw up.
Yeah.
When Fett finds out that F and Dutch are doing the nasty. And when you see the two of them kissing, it's nasty.
Yeah, it is.
You're like, turn the channel.
It is a little nasty.
So I think that could be great drama when Fett finds out about Team Futch.
Right.
That this is gonna blow up.
Do you think he and
who will he hate more? The Master or F? Because he doesn't like F.
No, he doesn't like F. I think he'll hate F more, because F will drive him into the waiting arms of Abraham Sedrakian.
God, that would make it this great show. This would make that show great.
If that, and don't think David Bradley isn't trying to make that happen.
All right, you know what? Here, hold on. So you did a great job with that, Mark.
Oh, thanks.
You did a wonderful, marvelous
job. Thank you. Thank you very much.
In turning off listeners by doing that.
Well, I didn't want any double S's to arise.
Double S's?
So to speak. Yes, sexual situations. Not all the double L's are
double L's.
Enjoying, loyal listeners, are enjoying the podcast. in the comfort of their own home. They could be on the bus. They could be at work. They could be going to work on a bus with fellow coworkers.
Right.
So, you know, anything steamy, I wouldn't want that to distract them. I was just trying to make Dutch's soliloquy, safe for work. That's all
right,
all.
But because you said you want Fett to finally see how cute Satrakian is,
yes.
So I'm going to tell the rest of this story as Satrakian to Fett. You ready?
Fair enough. This is part of Satrakian's grand seduction.
And then suddenly, oh yes, we just stop and look at you.
Professor?
Yeah, Fett, you.
Professor, I'm getting nervous.
And then we start crawling towards you. And then we're on either side of you. She starts unbuttoning your shirt.
But I'm in the hospital. I don't have a shirt.
While I undo your trousers.
Yeah, they wouldn't be on. They're hospital gown.
And as we're doing that, she and I lean in together right over you. And start kissing.
Okay, I just realized
and touching.
I just realized something. This is how now I think.
And then slowly, okay. Our heads start moving down.
Professor, please untie me.
Down,
Professor. Please,
Fett. I'm moving down.
I'm never gonna lend you any of my DVDs again.
Why professor. Won't you believe me when I tell this story,
Professor? Please get out of the shower. A lot of people. I hope I haven't had this experience, but, you know,
what, the experience of Satrakian?
Well, that
telling them
one,
a dirty lesbian story.
That number one.
Okay.
Well, we've both had some minor surgeries.
Oh, that's correct.
And I don't know about you, but I look. Let's just say that this is probably how these days, with our healthcare system being stretched so thin, this is how they put on catheters.
Right.
That may be
they distract you with a sexy scene.
And then it's,
right. Suddenly like, hey, yeah. This bald guy's kissing this
not
British
helpful.
Hacker. Whoa.
It's not
right up the tongue worm.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't think anyone will ever go to the hospital again.
We keep losing listeners.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So let's move to, we got a couple storylines left. Do you want to follow Satrakian and Fett, now that we've seen them very intimately?
Sure.
Okay, sure. All right, well, let's do it.
Oh, so, what was the other one?
Well, the other one we're going to have to talk about is the big fight at the end.
Oh, yeah, that's
Quinlan
that
and the Ancient Ones. All right,
sure.
The Fett storyline, it ties in briefly with the poor man's Christoph Waltz Ichor storyline. Mm-hmm. That's the storyline that starts off the show.
Right.
Where we see Ichorst and, of course, Dr. Sanjay Desai. Assistant, who are showing this meat processing, human
blood processing.
Exactly right. They're going to incinerate the evidence after they get that delicious, delicious blood.
Right.
So my question to you, Mork, and we've seen, I really think we've only seen him in two episodes, and IMDb says so far we've only seen him in two. Sanjay Desai, human being or Sturgoy? What's the answer?
Human being.
If he's a human being, let's debate this real quickly. Who's worse, Sanjay Desai or Palmer?
I gotta say Sanjay Desai.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's pretty equal. Palmer paid for these factories. He knows what they're doing. And Palmer's done so much more. He seems to be turning a corner now because it's kind of like, I'll help whoever gives me the white. But
yeah, but I think, but Palmer... I guess here's how I look at it. Yeah, Palmer is certainly far more responsible than this guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I don't think this guy,
You're coughing a lot. You okay there, Mork?
Oh, man. I just, after watching the episode, I've just been avoiding going to the hospital.
I would too.
Palmer, he's got his plan. He's got his reasons, which I do not understand at all. How they make his life, how they make his life better, don't understand, and maybe never ever will.
Right.
But his plan came to action before we started seeing the results of all this. So maybe somehow he didn't understand what he was doing, and I just feel like Sanjay probably had a much clearer sense of who he was working for and what the stakes were. So,
well, how about the assistant? Yeah. The assistant sees the dummy on the hook.
It was an internship.
LinkedIn profile got me there.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, I'm not too, you know, he's just, you know, he just moved to New York. It's the only job he could get. You know, he was working at the Olympian Club, but they shut down. So it doesn't bother me too much.
Icor's, poor man's Christoph Waltz, he's very upset. Mm-hmm. Because the process takes, what was that, twice as long?
They were saying 84 seconds, and it turns out, no. It
took over 2 minutes,
it
right?
It took, yeah. It took 217 or 218.
Why is that so important? We've seen that the master doesn't really care. The master doesn't really care about rank and file Strigoi. He sends them as pretty much cannon fodder all the time.
Right.
So why would he care that it might take them a little bit longer to get blood for the rank and file Strigoi?
I don't understand why. Almost like how I don't understand how the master is still alive if he doesn't have a body. How does he eat? Where's he getting his blood? Where's the Crimson Ward getting his blood?
Well, will that be the shocking? What could possibly be the shocking end result to this of where he could be? We haven't seen Zach 2.0 in several episodes.
Maybe he's in Zach. Maybe he's in Kelly.
If he's in the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly, that's, I could see it, but it's also slightly odd because the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly in this episode was taking a lot of orders from poor man's Christoph Waltz.
Right. That's a good point. So, I mean, he's not in poor man's Christoph Waltz because he wouldn't expose himself as much as, he doesn't do errands. The master does not do errands.
All right, so let's jump to our romantic couple, Fett and Satrakian. Yeah. They start the episode meeting Palmer. Palmer's got a spring in his step. Mm-hmm. He's ready to go. That white has helped him a lot.
He sure
and
has.
He's actually, let's give him some credit. He's a Weasley evil villain, but he is paying, you know, he is agreeing to the terms of the bargain. He said, you know what? You wanted to know what was on this cargo ship? I can't tell you what was on it, but it was done by my guy, Sirius Minnow. And he's at a Stoneheart Group facility outside of the safe zone.
Yeah.
And let's get to that. So Sirius Minnow, do you really think he was named after, because he was a boat captain, he was named after the SS Minnow, a.k.a. Gilligan's Island? I do. Yeah. I think they were so creative with the name.
Sirius Scott Minnow.
Right, dude. Yeah. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a pointless character. All right, so we follow Fett after Fett and Satrakian.
Yeah.
Tell Quinlan about the deal. They go to hunt down this Sirius Minnow. And at this point, I said to you, well, why aren't they still investigating the Octodo Lumen? Are they feel like the only thing they got out of the Octodo Lumen was put the master in a box. We spent a whole season finding out, okay, put him in a silver-lined box.
Right, yeah.
Thanks for nothing.
Capture and subdue him and don't let him do anything.
When they get there, walk by a place that's called this is Stoneheart Group they're going to. And they're going to a place called, they walk by a place called the Stone Church.
Yeah.
So are we supposed to mean, is Stoneheart Group some sort of cult or something?
I don't know. I mean, it does have a lot of L.L. Bean-type qualities, but I don't think it's an actual cult.
Well, one thing that's, once again, just awfully odd is this facility, the Stoneheart Group, which is outside the safe zone.
Yeah.
They've got all sorts of goodies. You see food being given away.
They've got yoga, gyms.
Health gyms. Like, these people are living in luxury as the city burns. As the apocalypse happens, they're living in luxury.
Yeah.
My thought seeing these people was, well, obviously they are part of the plan too. They're just being fed good so they can be led to the slaughter of the blood factory.
Yeah. They paid up early. These are probably people who made deposits to go on Elon Musk's first rocket to Mars.
Right. Oh, great point. Maybe they did. Yeah, on Stoneheart Group's first rocket out of the apocalypse.
Could be. Sister company. I do love how Fett's badge didn't mean anything.
Oh, yeah, but that's a good point.
But his Stoneheart badge did. Yeah.
He is wearing the badge.
Yeah.
After he does his patented private part grab, they find out that, okay, we'll take you to where we took the box. And sure enough, where they took the box, is a place where Satrakian, and hey, Professor, Fett have already been. It's a base they blew up in the past. This factory, which is going to be a meat processing plant.
Although when they show up, he says, yeah, I used 12 sticks of dynamite on this gigantic right. factory. It was like, yeah, 12 sticks of dynamite. I don't know if it would... If it would destroy a factory. I mean, I don't know. I am no Alfred Nobel, but it seems like it would have a minimal impact on it, and that's what happened.
Now, I have to admit some not remembering. Right. When they were at this factory before, they didn't at that time realize what the factory was going to be used for as a meat processing plant?
No.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, they didn't. Did you also forget about Georgia losing to Vanderbilt?
Edit. Way to just piss off our viewers, our listeners, by doing that, Mork. All right, so,
I would never do that.
So once they find out, they have a fun little shootout, and of course they don't shoot the tires, they yep. don't shoot the glass window.
They don't pick up any of the dead guys' guns.
Right, they don't pick up the dead guys who have Uzis. And one thing that Geek Girl Soup really liked is as Eichhorst, poor man's Christoph Waltz, drives by, he gives him a little smile like, hey, guys.
Yeah, and they actually slow down
film. Yeah, it's not that they're slowing down the truck.
Yeah.
It's that they're giving a little slow-mo shot, so you can really see that Eichhorst, he likes taunting. Now, he has bullet speed. He could just jump out of the car and go kill them.
Yeah.
But no, he wants to smile and watch. Hee-hee, look at me, get away.
A lot of people aren't going to, spoiler alert, a lot of people won't see this until they get the unrated DVDs. In the unrated version, Eichhorst will be mooning them as he drives by.
That would be great. And Eichhorst, I should point out, there is sun everywhere. Yeah. Is he putting on anti-UV makeup sun? Like, is that how he's able to be out in the sun? Is his makeup
sun? Sure, that works. I mean, they're in the truck, and he's inside and was sort of ducking.
Yeah.
It's plausible, if not completely
consistent.
Believable. Yeah.
So I said this during the show. I said, why don't Satrakian and Fett... Why don't they tell Councilwoman Ferraro about this place?
Ferraldo?
And she'll just blow this place up. Justine, she has the manpower. She could just do it in there. You don't have to worry about a blood factory anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. And I also, like, the blood factory, it sort of seems like, sort of the spoils of war. Like,
right.
So it's like, okay. Let's go here. It's obviously this is not what we want.
No,
we're not thrilled about this. But let's instead, get the box, find the master, find Crimson Worm, find et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And
okay.
we're now back to where we don't like to be, and that's the Scooby Gang is split up.
Split up. They don't have any consistent plan.
Who? What are the equivalents? I mean, is passive,
oh, let's do that. Let's
is,
do that.
Is passive aggressive definitely Fred?
Or could he be? Oh boy, that is a tough call.
Or could
of
he
who's
be,
Fred?
Or could he be Daphne?
You know what? No. We're gonna put this. Will sound sexist. We will put Dutch mm-hmm. as Daphne. I think F passive aggressive. Would be Thelma. You know how Thelma was kind of the egghead of the bunch? Everybody
always,
loves Thelma.
Always losing her glasses.
Right.
Jinkies.
Jinkies.
Yeah, always losing
and
her glasses.
And so that to me feels like F, the one who's right. like da-da-da-da-da-da,
But
this.
Fred and Daphne were always sneaking off and disappearing for a while.
I'll give Fett Fred.
Okay.
I see that.
Fett is Fred. So then Satrakian is Shaggy?
No. Shaggy?
Is Scooby?
I think Scooby, because all Scooby does is hang out and get into trouble and,
okay.
get into situations.
That's true. He had the
Silver
sword
Angel.
Cane.
Yes, Silver Angel. He's like a dog.
But we don't
to
see
Gus
him
is
enough.
Shaggy. And Shaggy, what did Shaggy always do? Zoinks. Run away.
Yeah, bro.
Run away. Hey, bro. Run away. Run away. We got to get someplace far away from New York City.
We don't see them enough to be Shaggy and Scooby. I mean, Gus is
that's
more
a good point. Okay.
Gus is more Scrappy Doo than Scooby Doo.
That is totally true. Listeners,
we need
go to the
here.
Facebook page. Who is this? Name him out. And we would have gotten away for it too if it wasn't for mean old Mr. Palmer. Now let's
Mr.
see
Palmer.
If we can remove his face. This isn't a mask.
It's Coco.
Oh, what?
Coco's definitely Daphne.
Oh, Coco. Or how about Mother, formerly known as Lovely Kelly?
No.
Yeah, she was not looking good today.
No, she was not looking good. I mean,
Okay, so Palmer has got the responsibility to find the box, find where the Egyptian ancient one is.
Right.
And Fett and Cetrakian, what is their plan going forward? Finish building their box?
They're going to wait. They're going to not kill Palmer. They're going to maybe meet him again. They're going to... Like, if you're... You know, so one thing that actually could be going on, I mean, if you're Palmer, this is actually a really good plan. If you want to get back into the good graces of poor man's Christoph Waltz and
the master.
Oscar Mayer, Crimson Worm.
Yes, okay.
You know, getting close to them and then trapping them and killing them, who's a better prize than Cetrakian?
Well, he could have done this a million times. Under the bridge, he could have captured them a million times. 100%
true. But is he trying to lure them somewhere? Is he trying to? I don't know. I don't know what. But
he needs the recipe of the white, and so I don't know how he's ever going to. He hopefully at this point realizes he'll never get it from the master.
Right.
It's just he has to be wondering. Well, how much do I have to kind of play both sides to get it from Cetrakian?
Yeah, well, we don't really know. Do we know how long in show terms the white, two eye drops of the white lasts?
I can't. If we do, I tell you, I can't remember. Yeah. I just can't remember it. I don't know.
I'm sure our allies over at Geek Girl Soup could tell us, but.
Well, listeners, please, we need help on this.
We need a lot of help.
All right, so let's get to quote unquote the rest of this episode, which is
happy fun time,
which is Quinlan,
right,
aka Strabone.
Yeah, so he's gone back. Now he's gone. He swore he would never.
Never come back.
Never. He's been back.
How many?
Twice.
Yeah.
Now he's been back twice.
At a certain point, the ancients of mouthpiece Lar should say to them,
right,
Quinlan, how can we miss you if you never leave?
If you never leave,
you know what? As a single gentleman. Uh-huh. I see people on Twitter always talking about, oh, Quinlan's so hot. Ooh, OMG.
Yeah.
Are you looking? Let me say, I'm almost as pale as Quinlan, but he's creepy looking. How in the world are ladies like, oh, Quinlan's so hot? What's going on there?
I think it's he's got like those little, like miniature elf ears. He's got, it's Quinlan is sort of like Legolas for these.
That's a good call.
For these dark, dirty.
Keep it clean, Trump.
No, these dark, dirty times we live in.
Oh, okay, sorry.
For these, if Legolas had a couple of benders and got addicted to human blood, he might look like Quinlan.
All right, so on the flip side of town, we suddenly find out from poor man's Christoph Waltz, as he's putting on his makeup and becoming poor man's Tim Gunn.
Yeah.
He's talking to a feeler and to the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly.
Right. Oh.
Actress Natalie Brown.
She's looking good.
So, too. Right. I mean, if I were more like Trump, I'd tell you things that I would inappropriately do.
I don't know how you
But now I see her like this, and I see her like this, and I'm going to also be like Trump and go, no, I wouldn't harass that Esther Goy at all.
Well, I think you're selling
But it turns out that Eichhorst and the Master and everybody apparently knew about the Ancient Ones here.
Right.
And they've got a plan. This plan, we find out in the last, what is this? I want to see how many minutes. The last 5 minutes of the episode, we realize, hey, we've got a plan, and we want to kill these other ancient ones who are bad guys.
Yeah,
and remember how Palmer killed the original Strigoi Team 6 when he trapped them in UV light there in the Stoneheart Group Tower.
Right.
Well, this seems to be the end of... Oh, even though he's dead, I think of Lar...
Oh, Lord.
That wordsmith, and I just giggle.
Who doesn't?
And so it turns out they are going to, they know that the Ancient Ones have to have other people bringing them food.
Mm-hmm.
So this makes me think, well, why are our good guys helping this if the Ancient Ones are just killing innocent humans? You know, they can't, you know, once again, Quinlan isn't killing humans. He can't just kill goats. Remember how he enjoyed goat blood?
Sure. Well, you know, when in Rome. I mean, what I don't get, the only thing, because none of these are individuals are actual people, the only thing we really care about at the end is Quinlan. The ancients don't seem to be doing anything either way. Neither does Strigoi Team 6,
right?
Or the remnants of Strigoi Team 6. So, we really only care about Quinlan. We don't care about the Ancient Ones. If they were going to do something to the Master, they probably would have at this point. It's nice to see them out of their cages or out of their stands.
And this whole thing, if I understand correctly, between the Ancient Ones and the Master, was the Master broke some pact, right? They came to some agreement.
Right.
And the Master broke it. Theoretically, he broke it. I don't know this. By killing some, you know, turning, making so many Strigoi, killing so many humans, kind of coming out into the world rather than staying in his cave or whatever. Yeah. And now the Master, he's like, yeah, I broke the rules. Now I'm just going to slaughter all of you.
Yeah. Which is, that's fine. Because we don't really know what these people are for. Like, they're not, they don't do anything. They don't teach us anything. They don't, there's no bargain. There's no, like, okay, F has to go have a conversation with the Ancient Ones and figure out what it is that they're trying to tell us in order to defeat the Master. It, they're there just down in their hole eating people. So the fact that they're about to die, I mean, really the coolest thing was just seeing Quinlan go all out.
And this was cool. I did like this. I was like, heck yeah, Quinlan, kick butt.
Yeah, it was
great. And Lar, give it up for Lar. He fought as hard as he could.
Yeah, no, Lar was doing good. I mean, you'd think they'd
But he's using bullets. Once again, silver, man. Just use silver.
Yeah, I don't know why they are so ill-prepared. For this kind of a thing. You'd think that they might have some sentries, they might have some lookouts to, you know, prevent, oh, I don't know, 10,000 Strigoi just strolling in. And it was cool to see the Ancient Ones actually moving.
Right, they really just had one move, though. You said they were moving. They just had one move, and the slap.
No, they had the slap, and they had the head rip off, and then they had that
Yeah, but
neck
they used
break.
An awful lot of slapping.
Yeah, they got big old claws. I would use it too.
You've heard of the bitch slap. This is the ancient slap.
Yeah, this is the ancient slap. This is the Strigoi slap. This is talk to the back of the greasy, greasy hand. So we don't know exactly. Okay, so he went under the river and escaped.
Yeah, he went so far because he's got Ikorist, poor man's Crystal Falls, has bullet speed. He dropped the bomb.
Well, he's even faster now because he lost all that weight that came with one hand.
Right, that's a good point. He keeps his hand in his pocket, so they don't have to do any other effects budget other than tongue worms.
No.
Quinlan kicks some serious booty, and maybe this is why some ladies on the internet love Quinlan, is he kicks a lot of butt.
He does.
But I thought, because he was such a butt kicker, he should be going into nests more often. He should be going out at night and killing any Strigoi that come out at night.
Yeah, he could definitely do some damage. I don't know, I wasn't sure. I mean, sort of looking at it again, it seems like he was running away from it, but I thought...
Running away from the bomb, yeah.
Yeah, but initially I thought he was running towards it to, like, do something
with
it.
Yeah, throw it somewhere.
Yeah, throw
it. You've
got
bullet speed.
Yeah, or, you know, just sort of unhook it, disarm it real quickly. A lot of people say that it, under all that makeup, is Jeremy Renner from The Hurt Locker. Could be. So it would be good. It was very cool to see a little bit of just mass chaos. I want to see a little bit of that every episode. I think we're done.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're done.
Well,
with
two more. There's only one episode left until the season premiere. The season finale.
Yeah. No, there's two left to the next
season.
So
what? We've spent 8 episodes.
Uh-huh.
And I always ask this. I asked this a while ago. What is the overarching story? Is, let's just go, 2 episodes from now, will F have achieved anything in getting Zach 2.0 back?
I mean, probably, because they haven't shown him for for 2 weeks.
Right.
But maybe, you know, it's kind of like, the Strain is really just a modern day version of the Searchers. You know, where they have to bring back the
Zach is Natalie Wood.
The kidnapped version.
Spoiler for the Searchers.
Spoiler for the Searchers and also for Robert who's the guy who killed her?
I don't remember.
No.
Ford? What do you mean?
No, in real life.
Who killed who?
The guy who was married to her and then who they think
so you're about Natalie Wood. Boy, we're
Natalie
on crazy
Wood.
Tangents now.
Yeah.
That is Robert Wagner.
Robert Wagner.
Her husband. Some people believe her husband, Natalie Wood's husband, Robert Wagner, killed her because she had started an affair with Christopher Walken.
Who was on the boat when she died?
During the movie, making a, what was it, brain scan? What was that silly horror movie they were making when she drowned?
I have no idea.
You know what? We have gone way off tangent, which on some parts of this episode was a good point. We should talk about things other than this drain.
Hashtag, what if Natalie Wood was still alive and she played Nora's mother's daughter, Nora?
She could have done a great job.
She'd be amazing. Love story indeed. So, yeah. So, what do I think Zach is going to be here or there at the end of the year? Yes. But, you know, we now have it confirmed.
Confirmed.
It's confirmed. It's a fact that there are only there's only one more season after this. Is it a 10?
They didn't know that while they filmed this. So, yeah. After the next two episodes, there's only 10 left.
Okay.
So, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. Because it feels like when Palmer said there are hundreds of these blood processing factories around the United States.
Right.
The voiceover had given us some clues.
Yeah.
But finally here in season three, we're supposed to understand it's not just New York City. It's not just Red Hook, Brooklyn.
Right.
The Strigoi.
That's where Gus
everywhere.
Should go. Gus should go somewhere else. Find his own factory to run. I wonder if they... Well, I guess, yeah, if they didn't know... I was going to say, if they thought it was going to go for years and years, then maybe they'd kill someone off. But maybe they'll keep everyone around just because it's like, it's only one
I don't know. I think some of these characters who should be great, like Silver Angel, who they're not given anything to do.
Yeah.
If they're not giving them anything now, I can't imagine they'll give them anything next season, so they'll kill them. I thought that the actor Corey Stahl, who plays Passive Aggressive, I thought he's always so busy. You know, he was in Ant-Man and other things.
Girls. He did a little bit of Girls. Yeah.
I thought that maybe that was a sign that he had been killed in this season. Not so lucky.
Is it possible he's going to return on House of Cards?
Spoiler alert. That would be something.
It could be. Hey, we don't know.
All right. So
yeah.
I think there are too many threads. There's too much craziness. Gus and the Silver Angel have no point. I have a feeling like they have seemingly at every season, at the end of the season, Gus and Silver Angel will be with Satrakian and Fett, be like, we've got to fight this together, whatever this is together. I mentioned that they're building this box, and for some reason I think they're just going to capture maybe the old ancient Egyptian one in the box.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's tough. I know that we don't mention this enough. This is based on a series of books, and I know they've diverged wildly.
Right.
So, for example, some characters who people love who are dead on the show are alive in the books. I know
Jim?
That. But
is Jim alive?
Possibly.
Well, we don't know.
I don't know.
Why am I asking
I said
you?
Characters who people loved, and I'm glad the first one you thought, everybody must have loved Jim.
Come on. He was Rudy.
But how you can wrap up this story in one season, well, easily you could just go, and that's how they killed the master, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But this season in particular, how it's going to end, they've got too many threads. It's so unfocused, it's tough for me to say, well, obviously it's leading up to point A.
Yeah.
I would say obviously somehow maybe the master is about to succeed, and then F jams his brain signals of all the Strigoi, and that allows some other heroes to escape, and they're like, oh, okay, this may be a way we can do it.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm just, I don't know where it's going. I'm confused.
I would like to make a request.
Request.
In the very unlikely scenario in which anyone who's involved in the show is listening to this.
Very unlikely.
Can I just, it's not possible. I understand. But could I make a request for a tongue worm to get stuck on Fett's badge?
Fett's
cornered.
We got to make this happen.
He's
that
cornered.
That is the most brilliant idea I've
and
ever heard.
It's stuck out, and then nope, boom, and the badge gets it, and then Fett escapes.
That's
my request. Okay. That's my humble, very humble.
Everybody,
we
got to find Carlton Cuse. We got to make this happen. If not this season, next season.
Carlton, if you don't do this,
and
I
that
will send my
Fett's
Aunt
gonna
Phyllis
survive.
After you.
But that is the greatest idea I've ever heard.
All right, well, done.
All right.
You're welcome.
Let's end on a high. This has been wonderful. Everybody, if you like Twin Peaks or are interested in Twin Peaks, go to our Facebook page. Go to iTunes, search for Twin Peaks, The Gifted and the Damned. It's our new podcast about that great series that just continues on. We're doing Ash versus Evil Dead. Go to iTunes, search for Ash versus Evil Dead versus Bubba versus Catfish. We got a lot of shows going on. We've only got two more this season. We want to go out on a high. Like the idea of a tongue worm getting stung by Fett's badge, which I love. That might be my favorite. It was an okay episode. I loved the action at the end. But this idea of a worm,
well,
piercer, hitting the badge,
kaboom.
Golden.
It could be yours.
All right. So, Mork, how can people reach out to you on Twitter?
Extraordinary. Extraordinary with the W just somewhere.
And they can find me on Twitter. My name is Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim. At Fit and Trim on Twitter. And you'll hear us next time on
Got Your Milk.
And then we went down together, unbuttoning your shirt. Then your pants fit.
Dr. Satrakian, leave me alone. Get out of here.
And then I saw this badge, and my tongue worm started rising, if you know what I mean. And I started going, let me tell you this. I'm going to get my genitals out of a jar that I keep on the shelf with
those
my wife's
genitals.
Heart.
Those aren't genitals. It's Sarah's heart. How could you possibly do that? I thought you were romantic.
Why won't you believe my passion?
Because you're trying to get in bed with me, Dr. Satrakian.